The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. It is Tuesday, November 11th, Veterans Day in America. And this is the day that we remember those who have fought, those who are fighting, those who have served, even those who have given their lives protecting America in wartime and in peacetime. I was thinking about Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. You know, the roots of Veterans Day go all the way back to World War I. On November 11th in 1918 at 11 a.m., there was a treaty that was signed, armistice, a ceasefire between the Allied nations and Germany, and this moment marked the end of, quote, the war to end all wars, and it was ratified in the Treaty of Versailles that was signed in June the next year, 1919, and it became, from Armistice Day, it became Veterans Day in 1954, and that was the first observance on November 11th, 1954, under Dwight D. Eisenhower. Well, to commemorate this day, and we want to talk about things related to our military, I've invited my good friend, Marine Evangelist Tim Lee, on the program. As you know, Tim fought in the Vietnam War, lost both his legs in the Vietnam War, and God used that terrible tragedy to bring about a wonderful transformation in his life, and now the Lord is using him and has used him for decades and decades and decades to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I love about Tim is Tim is a culture warrior. He's a warrior for the gospel. He stands up and speaks the truth in love and lets the chips fall where they may, and so Tim, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I'm always honored to be with you, one of my favorite pastors in all of America. And so I'm thrilled, especially on this day. And then, of course, I have to mention yesterday was the 250th birthday of the United States Marine Corps, the greatest fighting force in the entire world. And so all the my Marine buddies out there today, happy late birthday, and then happy Veterans Day to everyone else.
Amen. Okay, so Tim, when I think about the Marines are they're connected to the Navy, but separate from the Navy, right?
Well, let me tell you how my dad used to say it. Now, my dad was in the Navy. He served in the South Pacific in World War II, and he would remind me, he would say, now, Tim, the Marine Corps is a part of the Navy. And I would say, you say a department of the Navy, and I'd say, yes, the man department. And then it was on. And but we had a lot of fun with it. But, of course, I appreciate all those who put on the uniform, peacetime, wartime, and willing to sacrifice for America. But I am prejudiced, of course, toward the Marine Corps. We don't know a whole lot, but we know how to fight, we know how to kill, and but that's about all Marines know how to do.
Okay.
We're trained and we're trained well, and I love the Marine Corps. I don't know whether you know this, Pastor, but I was going to make a career out of the Marine Corps. I fell in love with the Marine Corps during boot camp, and I just was gung-ho Marine, and I was getting ready to come back to the States from South Vietnam, and going to go to embassy school, and which was going to be an honor for me, but God had other plans, as you mentioned a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tim, when it comes to military service, it seems like the Marines maybe have more, almost more camaraderie than perhaps other branches of the military. It just always seems to me, especially when you see movies, you know, you have these guys that show up, the military guys show up at a bar, and it's the Navy versus the Air Force or Marines versus the Army or whatever. You know, they get into some kind of a scuffle.
Right.
Is there something different about the Marines from your perspective that's different from the other branches of service?
Yes, and I've had men from other the Army, Navy, Air Force even comment on that there, it's a lifetime commitment. It's like my father-in-law last night, we're up here in Southern Illinois spending time with them, and I'm speaking at two Veterans Day events today and then one on tomorrow. And but he's mentioned a pastor that he knew, and it was called him an ex-Marine, and my wife corrected him immediately and said, "Dad, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine." And it is that way. We're taught that from the very beginning of boot camp, that we're a family forever. And every once in a while, there'll be a bad egg come out of the Marine Corps, but for the most part, great, great people that are loyal to the to God, to America, and to, of course, to the Corps. And so it runs deep. And if you fight one of us, you're going to have to fight all of us. And,
yeah.
And people don't want to be doing that.
No. Okay, so a day like today, Tim, for a Marine veteran, how do you view it as opposed to a regular, you know, sadly, so many just run-of-the-mill American citizens, we don't recognize today like we should and give honor to where honor is due. How do you, as a Marine Corps veteran, view Veterans Day?
Well, I really look at it for the young people of America, that I want them to understand what this is all about. Memorial Day, we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And then today is for those who are living and as I said, serving peacetime or wartime, either one. But if young people understand that this country didn't just happen, that somebody fought and somebody paid a price and somebody sacrificed, and mentioned Sunday in Pensacola, Florida, that everyone serving today, every single person serving our military today are volunteers, and none of them were drafted. And I was in the Vietnam War. It was the last time we had a draft in this country. It was a very divisive thing, and people were burning their draft cards. People were burning the American flag. Men were fleeing to Canada to avoid the draft, and it was a horrible, horrible, terrible time for our country. And so fortunately now, this last administration, we saw recruitment go way down, and they were missing goals. They were actually resetting goals, so it looked like they were hitting the goals, but they were not hitting the original goals, and it was devastating to our military. But they were trying all kinds of experiments, and they were letting everybody in, declared all kinds of gender stuff and ridiculous things that had nothing to do with us being prepared and being ready to fight and be ready to win a war. And so now, I believe it was yesterday or maybe Sunday that I heard that we're setting all kinds of records in recruitment. It's way mm-hmm. up. And now we've been able to be more selective. We're being able to get the good ones. And we want good ones. We want to be selective. And somebody says, well, that sounds kind of biased. Well, of course it's biased, but we want the best in our military. Mm-hmm. And we're not wanting to do, we don't need to be doing social experiments and all of that junk that has nothing to do with fighting and winning wars. I'm glad the president changed it from the Department of Defense to the Department of War, mm-hmm. because that was the original goal when our military was set up. And nobody likes war. I remember I was in Kissimmee, Florida years ago, and a man came up to me, and he wasn't being a smart aleck, but he said, "You fought the unpopular war." And I had to stop for a minute and think about that. Nobody had ever said that to me. And then I looked back at him, I said, "Well, I don't think any war is really popular." Mm-hmm. But there are some things we're living for. There are some things we're fighting for. And if needs be, in America, there's some things worth dying for. And so that's what I want to convey, especially for our young people, to understand that this country, it's an honorable thing to put on the uniform yes. and go serve our country. I don't try to discourage a young man. If that's what he feels like he wants to do, I say, sick him, go get him.
Yes, amen to that. Well, Tim, do you think it's too much of a stretch to say our law enforcement officers, especially ICE officers, they're kind of like our military at home. They're trying to keep yep. the peace at home. And we see so much with what's going on with ICE agents and people working against them. It seems like there's many in our country at war with our immigration officers. Yep. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Pastor. I can't believe what we're seeing. It's kind of a reminder of what happened in Vietnam here on American college campuses and all the protests and everything. And we're seeing that again today in 2025 against our own ICE agents and police departments and sheriffs. I try to, when my children were growing up, I taught them to respect and to say thank you to a policeman and to honor them. Nowadays, parents, I don't think they're teaching that so much. And mm-hmm. these kids grow up thinking they can just smart off and disobey a policeman when he's trying to get them to do something. And no wonder we have so many problems, so much trouble, so spirit of rebellion. And I'm 75 years old. If I was to get pulled over, I'm getting ready to go to speak in Mount Vernon, Illinois at 10 o'clock this morning. If I was to get pulled over by a policeman, I'm going to get my driver's license, my concealed permit. And when I'm going to roll down my window, have my hands on the steering wheel, I'm going to say, yes, sir. I'm going to respect because they got a uniform on and they are in a position of authority. And mm-hmm. if kids today would learn that, save them a lot of trouble the rest of their life if they could learn it at a young age.
Tim, what did you think of Pete Hegseth when he kind of laid down the gauntlet and it's like, we're going to get in shape. You're not going to be overweight. You're going to be able to, you know, complete the physical requirements. It's a sad day in America. We have so many younger people that can't even qualify because of their weight, because they can't run, you know, and do the things that need to be done. When you were in it and you were going through boot camp, I mean, you were an athlete. You and most of the guys were fit, correct?
Yes. Well, if you weren't when you went in, you were when you came out. You didn't get a pass. You didn't. It wasn't easy. If you didn't cut the mustard in that platoon, then you went back to the platoon behind you that was coming up, and you start all over again. And until they, maybe there was a few, not very many, that couldn't hack it. I'm not making a joke here, but they actually was in the Vietnam era. They sent them to the Army or the Navy. The Marines sent them to the Army and Navy if they couldn't cut it in the Marine Corps. But we had stringent requirements in order to graduate from boot camp, and there was no. There was no getting around him. Pete leads by example. He is, this guy is amazing. I love him. And he is reinvigorating our military. And these guys are excited. They give him, they love him in our military today. And things have changed. It's a new day in America. President Trump, this is one of his, he's made a lot of great appointments, but this is one of his greatest appointments mm-hmm. that he's ever made with Pete. I love him.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Pete loves the Lord, and he doesn't make any bones about that. He's a born-again believer, and he's not ashamed to say that he loves Jesus and he follows Jesus, and I appreciate
absolutely.
That. Amen.
Yeah, and well, you know, there's so many in the administration that are like that. Secretary of State Rubio and so many others. I told a group of preachers the other day, President Trump may not be a Sunday school teacher, but he sure has surrounded himself with right. a lot of Sunday school teachers, people that love Jesus and not ashamed of it. And yeah. and it is so exciting to see this. I was worried that I would ever see this again in my lifetime, but now my children are getting to see it. My grandchildren are getting to see it. And we can't take this for granted because, you know, we didn't know this would ever happen again. Thank God for President Trump.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Marine Evangelist Tim Lee on this day, Veterans Day, in America 2025. And so you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve on American Family Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about what Tim faced in Vietnam and his book, Born on the 5th of July, a great read about his life. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Today is Veterans Day, and we're talking about that on Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking to my good friend, Marine Evangelist Tim Lee. And Tim lost both his legs in Vietnam in 1971. Is that right, Tim?
Yes, sir. March the 8th, 1971.
And he writes about his experiences growing up and then what that was like on that that day that really changed his life, and how God used something very, very tragic and horrible. And Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But Tim wrote a few years ago his story in a book called Born on the 5th of July. And Tim, when you came to First Baptist Texarkana, that was the first time, I think the first time when the book came out, I got a copy of that book. And I think I told you, I read it in a maximum of 3 days. I just couldn't put it down. It was such a page turner and just such a great testimony. And it's your full testimony of how God worked in your life. So let's talk about a little bit about that day, that day when you lost your legs.
You know, on March the 8th, 1971, I was leading my men on a mine sweep. I was walking point. I had a couple of guys had just been in Vietnam a few days, and this is their first mine sweep. And of course, walking an actual mine sweep is a little bit different than Camp Lejeune training when there's no live rounds. And so, I remember how it was when I walked my first mine sweep in Nam. And so I got my men together, told them I would walk point men on that day, and then the next day others would. But we walked that morning without any trouble. We found a couple rounds. Our job was, I've been on numerous mine sweeps. This was my job. I was a combat engineer, 1371, and this is what I was trained for at Courthouse Bay at Camp Lejeune. And so our job was to locate landmines, rounds had not yet been detonated, punji pits, anything that the enemy had placed there to stop us. And we were to remove those. And so we walked that morning, found a couple of rounds, we detonated them. My best friend in Vietnam, Corporal Lee Gore, we flew to Vietnam together. And Jeff, the backstory is I was a Christian. I was saved, but I was running from God. I was out of the will of God my life spiritually. Was a mess. I fell in love with the Marine Corps in boot camp, but spiritually, I was away from God, out of the will of God. Lee Gore, my best friend, was a Christian, unashamed to be a Christian, and he would pray with other Marines, read his Bible. And so that day, he asked me at noon hour if I wanted him to take over at point, and Lee could have very easily have done it, but I told him I would finish the day, and then the next day I would walk point. And we picked up where we left off from, and 45 minutes later I stepped on a 60-pound landmine that blew me several feet in the air, ripped both of my legs off of my body. I should have been killed instantly. And in the midst of all this, we'd entered a major minefield. A South Korean Marine that was serving with us stepped on a mine at the very exact moment that I did, lost one of his legs. Our bulldozer driver set his blade down on a mine, and now there's lots of noise and chaos. I'm in extreme pain. I was only unconscious for a couple of moments, and I'm in extreme pain, and I look up, my head's laying in the lap of Lee Gore, my best friend, and he's got tears streaming down his face. He's praying in the middle of war, in the middle of what's going on. He's praying and asking God to help me. And Pastor Jeff, I didn't want to die. I wanted to live. Mm-hmm. And so I prayed that day. I don't know the exact words, of course, of my prayer, but it was something simple, something like, God, if you'll let me live, I'll do what you want me to with my life. I've made God so many promises in the past, but I never meant them like I meant it that day. And they took me to the hospital ship, the USS Sanctuary, where I was for 2 weeks, almost died several times, high degree temperature, severe infection. They couldn't get under control, and a lot of other complications. 2 weeks on the island of Guam, went from 187 pounds to 80 pounds. Mm. And then eight long months in the Philadelphia Naval Hospital, surgery after surgery after surgery. And as you said, both my legs were gone. I had 3 inches remaining on my right leg, 11 inches on my left, but no other part of my body was hurt. God had a plan. God heard the prayer. Lee Gore, God heard my prayer. God heard the prayer of my parents and so many other people. And you quoted Romans 8:28, and it is so true. God has a plan, and he had a plan for Tim Lee. And sadly, it took a landmine explosion, my two legs, a wheelchair the rest of my life for me to finally surrender and say, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I met Connie. We fell in love with each other. We got married, and God's given us 3 wonderful children, 7 great wonderful grandchildren. And then God called me to preach. Mm. And imagine that, a Marine in a wheelchair with no legs. And, you know, Pastor, at that time, you got to remember, this is well over 50 years ago. I'd never seen anyone on a church platform in a wheelchair at all. And now friends and even relatives tried to talk me out of it, tried to discourage me. And they meant well. They weren't being ugly about it. But I made God a promise that if he'd let me live, I'd do what he wanted me to do. And this is what God wanted me to do.
Amen. Well, for our listeners, I can tell you firsthand, Tim is tough as nails. He may not have use of his legs because they're in Vietnam, but that doesn't slow him down a bit. He travels all over, and he doesn't need any help getting on the platform, and he's a Marine through and through. And Tim, what I love about you, you're a warrior, not just a warrior for America. You're a warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ. You stand up and let your voice be counted. And I want to kind of transition into this because, you know, I've talked about this before. We have far too many pastors in America that are so afraid of what people are going to think, or I don't want to offend anybody in my congregation. They don't want to stand up. They don't want to speak to the moral issues of the day. Politics has bled into biblical issues, the abortion, homosexuality, the transgender insanity, all those things, you know, about border wall and border controls and things like that, getting people that are breaking the law out. And they just say, well, you know, love is love, and we need to love people, and let's just all be syrupy and sweet. How do you view that? And are you encouraged or discouraged with what's going on in the church today?
A little bit of both. And I see good signs, and then, you know, I hear churches that are taking the American flag out of the auditorium. It's like they're making a statement, and they say, well, we don't want to offend anyone. Foreigners come over here, and they come to our church, and we don't want to offend them. I've been to so many foreign countries, and they do things there that I don't agree with, but I'm not offended. That's their culture. That's what they do. This is America, and preachers have just caved so much in this land. And my soul, that if we're not going to stand, how could we expect anybody else to stand? Right. And I was at a church in Florida Sunday. They waved the flag, and I told them, we don't worship the flag, but we do respect it and we honor it. And anymore, that may be the only place these kids today see any semblance of patriotism. And we don't do it very often, maybe a couple of times a year. And we used to do it a lot more than we do it now. And so I'm just hoping preachers will wake up and understand that America's worth fighting for. And sometimes you have to get your hands dirty, you have to get your feet wet, and you have to get involved, you have to take a stand. We need good, godly people in America, and in our school boards, and our county commissioners, our city council, and state house, and our in our Congress and Senate. We need good people that's not afraid to get involved and take a stand. And so I tell people all the time, if I would go 10,000 miles away from home and give my two legs for America and Vietnam, then you better believe that I'll do that much and more here in America, and for my children, especially for my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Now somebody fought for me, and now we've got to fight for them. I'm going to do it until my last dying breath.
Well, Tim, speaking of that, you know, we had the big election last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, and Zohran Mamdani was elected, a Muslim socialist elected to lead New York City. I talked about him yesterday, and I said, you know, I think the socialism piece was his way to get elected, but I think that's kind of a smokescreen for the Islamic piece. How do you see that?
Yeah, and that is you've nailed it on the head, Pastor Jeff. That I was stunned that we would do this, and we're not that far removed from 9/11 when those Muslim commandeered those airplanes, hijacked those airplanes, and killed those pilots and people on board, and then ran those planes into our Pentagon, into the World Trade Center. And for weeks and months and even years, we talked about it and we wept over it and we said it would never happen again. We're never going to let it, we'll never forget. And it seems like New Yorkers, of all places, New York City, have already forgotten. And this man is dangerous. And this, they've got an agenda. And I agree with you. It's more than just the socialism or the communism thing. It is the Muslim thing. And people better wake up. They don't care about our Constitution. They don't right. care about what our history is or what our heritage is. They want to remake America. And many of them out are saying it. They want Sharia law. And so I'm just saying that somewhere, somehow, our people in Washington, D.C. has got to wake up, and people in our states have got to wake up. Even in Texas, we have it happening in mm-hmm. all places. Red state Texas is happening. We've got to wake up, and the governor's got to wake up, and other people's got to wake up and understand these people are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And if we don't fight it now, then it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and if, you know, the old expression, speaking of socialism, but you could say the same with Islam, you can vote it in, but you're going to have to fight your way out because they're not going to let go once they get in power. Tim, do you see with the battle between the Republicans and the Democrats? To me, it seems like the Democrats are just sailing a sinking ship. It's being taken over by the Zohran Mamdanis and the AOCs and the Bernie Sanders and all the socialists and the fringe left. I mean, even Bill Maher points out, hey, it's not the Democrat Party that, you know, that I was a part of 30 years ago. How do you see that playing out if you pull out your crystal ball and see America in the next 10, 15, 20 years? What do you see?
Well, you know, it's kind of a sad thing to say that Senator John Fetterman is the common sense Democrat in Washington, D.C. And there's still a couple of things, some serious things that I don't agree with him on, abortion and other things, but the guy does love Israel, and he has taken a stand on many other issues in our country. He is now the common sense Democrat in Washington, D.C. And this Democratic Party is not the party of our grandfathers. And you know, the day when Reagan and Tip O'Neill could sit down and talk about things and even have some fun times together and laugh together, but that day no longer exists. There's such a hatred and animosity in America. We are you know, we were once the good people, and now we live in that day when good is called evil and evil is called good. We who take a stand for life, we who try to protect our children, we who want to defend America and close our borders down, we're now the radicals. And mm-hmm. my soul, we've got to wake up and understand that. I think you're going to see a lot of people leaving if these radicals continue to run things and grab a hold of things. I think you're going to see a mass exodus of the Democrat Party At least I would hope there would be enough people with some common sense left to say that's not my party and that's not who I am, and they'll be leaving.
Well, Tim, I know you are gifted as an evangelist, and I have stated with Trump's reelection, that was a reprieve. It was an answer to prayer. Who knows what kind of shape we'd be in as a nation if Kamala Harris had won, that election. But that's not the be-all, end-all. The be-all, end-all is getting people to come to Christ and walk in the light with Him. And so I have stated that I think God in His mercy and grace allowed us to have some law and order again in America. But if we don't seize the day, carpe diem, it's going to go away and that window is going to close. Do you see it that way?
I agree 100% that, we were given the reprieve politically on November 5th last year, and now the politicians have got to do what they're going to do, but we as pastors, we as evangelists, we as preachers, we as missionaries, as Christians, we've now got an opportunity to lead. We've got an opportunity to make a difference, and especially since the death of Charlie Kirk and all that has happened with that. I think we're seeing some great things happen. We cannot rest. We cannot take it easy. We've got to be busier than we've ever been, doing more than we've ever done to reach people with the gospel and reach people for Christ. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing a lot of great things happening in our churches, and especially with the young people, teenagers and college age students that are saying, they want a difference. They don't want a status quo anymore. And that Charlie Kirk may have been a lot of things, but he wasn't status quo. That guy was making a difference big time, and the enemy hated him and the enemy killed him. So that's why we've got to pick up the mantle now and run with it. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, tell the world the good news, and that men can be saved and spend eternity with God in an awesome place called heaven.
Amen to that. Well, we're talking to Marine Evangelist Tim Lee on this Veterans Day in America 2025. We are up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment for Tim, he's going to stay on with us. We would love to hear from you. Hey, maybe you just want to call and say, Tim, thanks. Thanks to what you did for us. And we need to be praying for our military because they need our prayers. We'll be right back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here on this Veterans Day in America 2025, November 11th. We're talking to Marine Evangelist Tim Lee. And Tim lost both his legs in Vietnam in 1971. He wrote about it in his tremendous biography, Born on the 5th of July. And Tim, where can they get that book?
If they will go to our website, timlee.org, they can find a place to order. And I know it's already Veterans Day, but make a great gift for a veteran for Christmas. We're in our third printing. We've sold over 50,000 copies. And the most common phrase that we've heard is what you said, they couldn't put it down. We've heard that so many times. Once they start reading it, they want to keep reading it. My co-writer is a member by the name of Bob Hamer. Bob was a Marine officer, and then he served 26 years as a field agent at FBI. And the guy is he's a story all on its own. Remarkable guy. He single-handedly put away the 10 worst pedophiles in the state of California. He nailed them all. It's in his book called The Last Undercover. And you'll need to take a shower after you read that book, but it is amazing what this guy did. So he's done some writing for Ollie North and for some other people, and we got to connect, and we just hit it off, and he helped me make that book pop where people didn't want to put it down. So in a third printing, the third printing, we added a small chapter about our new grandson, Jack. The last one ended with our granddaughter, Allie, being killed in that horrible ATB accident. And now we've got a new life in our family, and so we decided to add that chapter. And that book is, the new one should be arriving at our offices any day now.
Tim, I'm just curious. So you've been without your legs for over 50 years, correct?
Yes, sir. Almost 55.
When you dream, are you dreaming of the young Tim Lee with a full body, or are you dreaming in?
That's a great question. Well, I this is my life. This way I am. That, you know, I get up every morning, get in my wheelchair. I don't even think about it. It's just me. You know, I spent 8 months in a hospital. We weren't in private rooms. We were not in semi-private rooms. We were on a ward at any given time, 30 to 40 Marines on Ward 1A in Philadelphia. They have a hospital. Two things about you. If you were on that ward, you were a United States Marine, and you were an amputee from the Vietnam War. And Jeff, I never seen so much bitterness and so much anger during that time. And if I were to listen to the critics, and if I listen to people, every day people tell me all the things I'd never be able to do, nothing positive, things I'd never be able to do. And if I'd listen to them, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation today. I would have given up. But I'd sat up in my bed one day in that hospital, out loud, I cried out. I said, I don't want to be bitter. And my family, my wife, my children, anyone that knows me would tell you they've never seen me bitter or angry about what happened to me on March 8th, 1971. I'm just fortunate to be alive. I should have been killed, but God let me live. And I'm a happy warrior. I may die before the sun goes down today, but if I do, you tell them I died a happy man.
Well, you know, I heard Johnny Erickson Tata. She said, you know, she can't help but think about what it's going to be like having her glorified body and being able to throw her wheelchair into hell and saying goodbye to it forever. So that does have to play in your mind, doesn't it, Tim? That one day
it does. I get excited. I was down at an old fashioned camp meeting years ago, and a guy came up to me, and he's a little bit weird, a little bit of a nut. He said, "Just think, in heaven, you're going to have a gold wheelchair." And I just shook my head and I said, "Buddy, you don't have a clue. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a brand new body." And so I'm excited about it every day, thrilled and looking forward to that day. Absolutely.
Hey, Tim, when you watched the movie Forrest Gump that was so popular back in the 90s, and one of the key characters was Lieutenant Dan, he had to be a representation of so many guys that you knew that had lost a limb or limbs in Vietnam and were bitter. I mean, that had to be the common response, I would think, from some of those guys.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't think of his name right now, but I met him at Liberty University.
Gary Sinise.
And a great guy. But when I saw that movie the first time, I was in the theater with some of my friends, and I wasn't ready for it emotionally, man. I almost had to leave. I didn't leave, but almost had to. And I sat there, I had big old tears running down my face. It was such an emotional, some parts of that movie were so emotional. And of course, Forrest Gump and all the rest of that. But it was just, it was a different time. It was a different era. Back in those days, and there was so much bitterness and so much anger, and but God kept me from that, and I'm so glad that He did.
Amen.
Well, we're going to the phone. My story. Yeah, go ahead. I'm, Well, my book is called Born on the 5th of July, and it was a takeoff from the Born on the 4th of July movie and book. Another Marine that was in Vietnam, he accidentally shot one of his own men, and then he himself was shot, put in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, became so angry and so bitter. And my story is diametrically opposite of that.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Lorraine on the line from Mississippi. Lorraine, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to tell Reverend Lee, I appreciate his service. My father was in the Marines in World War II, and he was 16 years old when he went in. And as he said, when he graduated, he said, I was 16 years old, 5'6", and weighed 142 pounds, dripping wet. And he was in the Pacific and went to Saipan, Tinian. He was on Iwo Jima, and he was on the initial landing force for Japan before and when the war ended. And one of his brothers was in the Marines, and one of my brothers was in the Marine Corps as well. And but my dad was on Saipan when he got the telegram from the Red Cross. His older brother was in 82nd Airborne in Europe, and he was killed on the 4th of July in Normandy. And just not quite about a month after D-Day, he was killed in Normandy in a night battle, and it was on 4th of July. And my daddy got that telegram from the Red Cross, and that was his older brother who was his hero.
Wow.
Well, thank you. Your family has sacrificed a lot for America. I think you deserve a Semper Fidelis as one Marine to a Marine family. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lorraine. Well, we have Heather on the line from Texas. Heather, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you for having me. Thank you, Mr. Lee, for your service and being a happy warrior. I love that. I have a question. So were you able to go back to Vietnam and preach Christ?
I was. About 9 or 10 years ago, I took a group of vets back, and it was a remarkable time. I mean, I could spend the next 30 minutes talking about that experience. It was unbelievable. The people there were so kind to us. We went with Dave Reaver. Dave's a Vietnam veteran and should have been killed also. A phosphorus grenade sniper hit him and exploded in his face. He's had over 60 surgeries, remarkable testimony. But we went under his business visa, and they treated us so well and just so many great memories. I actually preached in Saigon at a Southern Baptist church called Grace Baptist Church on a Wednesday night, maybe 200 people there. And here I am, a Vietnam veteran, a Marine, gave two legs for my country, serving in Vietnam, and I'm preaching in a communist country on a Wednesday night in Saigon. Wow. It's amazing how God works things out, and He put it all together.
Hey, Tim, I'm curious. So when you do those sweeps, is that something that I would imagine you've replayed that in your mind? Did you do something you shouldn't have done, or was it just unavoidable?
It was a horrible terrain. We were actually going almost inch by inch. It was so meticulous. It was I was in tall elephant grass. It was one of the most horrible areas that I'd ever walked a minesweep in growing up. And we were actually building a road, of all things. And when I got hit, they actually stop building the road, so it makes me think that it they weren't all that serious about building that road to start with. So I'm not sure why we were even doing it if they would stop after I lost stepped on that landmine. But we were not able to use normal equipment that we would normally use on an open field mine sweep, it's just one of those things that we're looking for something new. We're looking for something different. We're looking for something that shouldn't be there. And like I said, we found a couple rounds that morning, and that made those. But
when we entered that major minefield, it happened so fast, it was so quick that three explosions went off simultaneously. The North or the South Korean Marine, myself, and then the blade of the bulldozer set down on one. So it was just bam, 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 and so fast and so quick. Some of my friends thought we were immediately taking on small enemy fire. We weren't, but with all that going on at one time, it was definitely very confusing.
Tim, do you have nerve pain, phantom pain on your legs?
Oftentimes I do. Last night was horrible. I drove all day yesterday getting to Southern Illinois, and I guess because I almost drove straight through, was stopped one time. I sat in one position, and then about 10 o'clock last night, it hit me, and it was horrible. It lasted for about 30, 45 minutes. I've never been able to completely get rid of them. Now, when I was in the hospital in Philadelphia, my mom and dad came for my 21st birthday, and two things happened while they were there. One of the nurses were laughing at me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting up scratching my toes, and they actually felt like they were there. I used to have athlete's feet pretty bad, and I was scratching my toes, and she was sitting there laughing because there's no toes to scratch, of course. But then my mom and dad brought these balloons for my 21st birthday, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, one of those balloons popped. And these Marines are hollering, "Incoming," and they're all waking up. Some of them are hitting the deck. It was, they took the balloons and got rid of them. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, Johnny Erickson was on the program a few years ago, and she said people don't realize about the nerve pain. And she said, you could stab me in the leg with a knife, I wouldn't feel it, but I can have pain in that leg from the nerves, and it can be very, very severe.
Yeah, there's no way to explain that pain to somebody, how horrible it is. And sometimes it only happens for a few seconds or so, and then I've had it go on for 3 or 4 hours, and no matter what kind of Motrin or whatever you take, it doesn't help at all. You just have to wait it out.
Yeah. Well, Heather, thank you for that call. We have time for one last call. Charlotte from Texas. Charlotte, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm actually calling you from Tennessee. Thank you, sir, for your service. I really appreciate the sacrifice you made for this country. My main question, Pastor, I watched an exit interview from New York City. A lady, they asked her who she voted for, and she said she voted for Mamdani. And her next words out of her mouth was, "I don't agree with him at all, but I voted for him anyway." Is it just me, or is that nuts?
Yeah,
go ahead, Tim. Pastor.
Well, yeah. I mean, so the frustration is people. Everything rises and falls on leadership. This isn't a joke. This isn't some kind of classroom experiment. Real people are going to get hurt. Tim, I did a artificial intelligence poll on worst case scenario of Mamdani's leadership, and they said it could take 10 to 20 years to fix what that guy could break in his term as mayor.
He could tear things up in 1 year. That would take 10 years to repair. And he's got an agenda. You can mark it down. I was shocked that one of the largest blocks of people that voted for him were Jews in New York City. I just blows my mind how blind people can be. But it's like the devil pulls a shade down over them and they can't see what's happened. You would think that if anybody would understand the danger, it would be those people. But that was the largest block of people, they said, other than Muslims that voted for him.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Well, Marine Tim Lee has been my guest today. Tim, thanks so much, and thank you for your service. And
thank you,
Tim, we have just 30 seconds. How can we best pray for our vets?
Well, 22 veterans a day, and a lot of young men today are taking their lives. 22, I think the figure is higher than that, to be honest with you. And so reach out, say thank you, try to be a friend. Older veterans can mentor and help these younger veterans that are coming that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. They saw things that no 19-year-old boy should, young man should ever have to
Thanks
see.
Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.